Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the early episodes of the original Star Trek television series was called The Enemy Within. In this episode, there was a malfunction with the transporter. You know, when Captain Kirk said, "Beam me up, Scotty," something unexpected had happened. Kirk was split into two individuals, one of them good, one of them evil. And the evil Captain Kirk was a drunkard, a carouser. He had no concern for his ship or his crew. He was concerned only for himself. Eventually, Scotty was able to repair the transporter and fix Captain Kirk by beaming both Kirks to a planet below and then reassembling them into one individual as he beamed them back. The point of the episode was that there is evil that lurks inside of everyone, and on that point, Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek was right. There is evil in each and every one of us. You know, we like to think that we are pretty good people and that we have a good heart, but Jesus can see into each and every heart, and what he sees isn't pretty. In last week's gospel reading, the Pharisees and the scribes were so focused on what they put into their bodies that they ignored what came out of their bodies, especially out of their mouths. But Jesus teaches his disciples that things are actually quite the opposite. Here again, do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The heart that Jesus refers to isn't the organ that is in your chest that pumps blood throughout your body. That kind of heart is never mentioned in the New Testament. The heart that Jesus refers to is the center of your being. It's your intellect and will. It's the seat of human thought and emotion. Your heart is really who you are. To say that something comes from your heart really means that it comes from your mind. Over the years, I have come to realize when somebody comes into my office and they say, you know, Pastor, I've just got to speak to you from my heart, what he's about to give me is a piece of his mind. When Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, etc., he's saying these things come from you. Your heart, your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions are what defile you. It's kind of hard to say, the devil made me do it, when your own heart is responsible for your own sin. But then again, we like to think that we're good people and that we have good hearts. And so I ask, what if someone had invented a video camera that could record all of your thoughts for a day? Would you want that recording posted publicly, uploaded to YouTube, so it could become the next viral sensation? Would you want everyone to see the same thing that God sees? Would you want the world to see what Jesus sees? The hatred, the covetousness, the pride, the envy, the whole list that Jesus mentions. Maybe it's good that only Jesus can see the sin that's so prevalent in our minds. After all, sin really begins in the mind. It begins with a thought, and then it becomes a word, and then it becomes a deed. All of which is sin, thought, word, and deed. All of which, according to Jesus, comes out of our heart. It's kind of ironic that many Christians say that we've just got to give Jesus our heart. It's not the kind of gift that I would want. It's kind of like getting fish guts for your birthday present. No, thank you. Now, you don't give your heart to Jesus. Jesus gives you a new heart. After King David sinned grievously with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered so that he could marry her, he was feeling pretty good about himself. But God saw what was in David's heart, and he sent the prophet Nathan to bring David's sinful heart to light and to call him to repent. When David saw his sin, he confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said, "The Lord also has put your sin away. You shall not die." From this incident, David wrote Psalm 51, in which he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." God is the one who conquers the enemy that is within each and every one of us, our sinful hearts, by creating you a new heart. In baptism, your sins are washed away, but God doesn't stop there. God also transplants into you the only good heart in all of human history, the heart of Christ. None of these things Jesus mentioned in our text came from his heart. No evil thoughts, no sexual immorality, no theft, no murder, no adultery, no coveting, no wickedness, no deceit, no sensuality, no envy, no slander, no pride, no foolishness. Christ is the only perfect man, and he demonstrated that perfection in perfect obedience to his heavenly Father, an obedience that led to the cross. Jesus did what he did for us out of perfect and selfless love. For this is the will of God, the good and gracious will of God. For the past year, we have talked a lot about the good and gracious will of God. And each time we have prayed the Lord's Prayer, we have paused, and I have explained the good and gracious will of God. For over 150 times, Vicar Sheely and I have explained, and we have explained until we are blue in the face. Like a steady beating drum, we have hammered home the good and gracious will of God. And so, I ask, what is the good and gracious will of God? What is God's desire for your life? Three things. First, he earnestly wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. And second, that you have eternal. And third, you have salvation. Yes, some of you switch the life and salvation. I do it as well. These three, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, are the good and gracious will of God. When good things are happening, God desires these three for you. When bad things are happening, God desires these three things for you. At all times and in all places, God's desire is that you know this. Therefore, we can always pray, "Thy will be done." Stonewall Jackson, one of the most well-known Confederate commanders, was on his deathbed. As his wife and child arrived at his deathbed, Jackson said, "Do not be sad. I hope I shall recover. Pray for me. But always remember in your prayers to use the petition, 'Thy will be done.'" When things are bad, when things are good, we pray, "Thy will be done." Because we couldn't ask for much more than that. The good and gracious will of God done in our lives. Now, while Star Trek had a fix for Captain Kirk, there will never be a human invention that can defeat the enemy within, the sinful human heart. But God has a fix. And he did it with some pretty basic materials, wood and nails, flesh and blood. In baptism, he joins you to Christ's death and resurrection, and he creates in you a clean heart, a heart that isn't a defilement, but a blessing, because it is the heart of Christ. Thanks be to God, and may his will be done. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.